Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm just waiting until the draft. Like, we're at the point now where it's Monday, June 23rd. I'm just ready.
You're ready.
I know I sound like super unexcited and boring and whatever, but I'm very excited. I'm very happy. It's just I'm waiting for Wednesday to come. I'm waiting to see how this goes. I'm very intrigued by, you know, draft night, everything that happens after the top five, top 10, whatever. Hopefully it's chaotic.
I think it will be.
Man, I'm ready. I'm just ready. I'm ready for this to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about the prospects in this class for what is it, 8 months now, 6 months,
so
something
long.
Like that? It's been a very, very long time we've been scouting this draft class. And that's why it's actually funny. I do want to bring this up. It just happened today on Noah Asengu, or Asenge, however you pronounce his name. Someone on the YouTube channel that was watching the short, because I put a short out of Noah attempting to handle the ball in the finals and just looking like a baby calf getting stripped and turning it over. They're going the other way. And it did pretty well. It had 1,500 views in less than 24 hours. Like, it did pretty good. And so I get this comment that I don't evaluate prospects because I'm not there in real life. So I have no ability to evaluate them. And that I only evaluate off of highlights. That's what I was told. What do you think about that, Matt?
They got us.
I just sit here.
Secret sauce.
That's right. I look at a couple of highlights and I just say nonsense. That's what I do. And it turns out I watched 20, you know, Ulam games this season, which is probably the most international games I've watched of any scouting report I've ever done, to be honest with you. But that user has been banned from the channel. So see ya. Today, let's talk about today, because the draft is literally 2 days away. June 25th, Wednesday, 8 p.m., ESPN. Don't watch it there, but watch it on playback.tv with us, /5RSN. That's where we'll be broadcasting it from. Today, we have a special episode. We never do episodes on Mondays. We did our final big boards of 2025. Are you excited about that, Matt?
Yes.
Are you ready? Because you're going first.
Yeah, sure. I mean, how? Again, honestly, how deep?
I'm just messing with you. I can go first. let me old man this up. Just don't let me do the mock drafts. We saw how that turned out.
Hey, I have mine ready to go. Give
me a shot. All right, go ahead. Share it. Whoa, look at that. Crispy new big board. I got to edit mine too and put 3.0. Let me just put final. How's that? Final.
Wait, hold on. Give me a second.
Oh. Matt's having technical difficulties. Like, if you look in the chat, you can see Coach Gio when we did our pod. He was having technical difficulties. What's up, guys? If you are excited about this draft, leave us a comment. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We want to hear from you. Let's make this an interactive show today. I'm going to do mine while Matt's waiting because he's consternating over there.
I think I figured out my problem. Okay. Yeah, never mind.
It's all right. I've already shared mine.
Okay.
So here's the way we're going to do it, Matt. I'm going to run down mine real quick. Let me know if there's any surprises, any thoughts you have, and then you can run down yours. How's that?
Oh my God, why is Cooper Flagg one?
Dude, Cooper Flagg at number one and Dylan Harper at number two? Who would have thought? That's right. The only consternation I have in the top of the draft are trades. So like as far as big board concerns, I think my big board's going to be the same. But our team's going to trade up, trade down, trade Giannis Antetokounmpo, for example. We already saw Kevin Durant leave. But anyway, number one, Cooper Flagg. Number two, Dylan Harper. Three, Trey Johnson. Four, VJ Edgecombe. Five, Con Knipple. Any surprises in my top five for you?
I would say just the Con over Ace.
Yeah.
But I also almost had that on mine. So it's not like I vehemently disagree or anything like that.
Dude, Khan is just such a solid prospect in every facet of the game. Like, this kid shoots such a high percentage in the paint, outside the paint, beats the close, sturdy defensively, rebounds for you, can assist a little bit. Whenever Cooper Flagg went out that one game with the ankle injury, Khan went on ball, was spamming PNRs with Milowatch. Woo! This kid is way better than I think people are giving him credit for. Ace Bailey comes in at number six. Aforementioned Kamon Milowatch, number seven. Kasparis Jakachonis ahead of Jeremiah Fears. Thomas Sorber to round out my top 10. Your thoughts, Matt Hanifin? Any thoughts on that?
No. Let's keep it rolling.
Kasper Siakachonis, I think people again are sleeping on. Like, the guy averaged 15-5-5, and he could have averaged a triple double if he didn't get worn down into a pulp. So I think people are sleeping on Kasp.
I was talking about this with our guy Bentovia. Shout out Ben last night.
Bentovia!
Ben's not a big Jakachonis guy because like the lack of athleticism, but like he's got such a nose for the ball. He's good defensively. He's a very good rebounder for, you know, being a guard or a lead guard. At some point, I didn't mention this last night, but I do think the shot will come around. We've talked about that
before. Oh, yeah. I have no questions about the shot. Yeah.
I just think, like, I am concerned about the lack of athleticism with him. It's not, like, something that I'm just, like, brushing away, but at the same time, I think he does so much that makes up for that. Specifically, and he's got good positional size, all that stuff, and so
rate was the 91st in the 91st percentile,
yeah,
in all of college basketball. Cole says, is there a concern on VJ Edgecombe?
I don't have any concerns about VJ.
No, I don't have any concerns about him either. I mean, I think
like his serious concerns.
No serious concerns. I mean, he's improved his shooting as the year went on. His jump shooting was his biggest question coming into the season, and his ability to handle the ball in short spaces to be able to create his own shot. He answered that. He's just gotten better and better and better every single game. No concerns at all, VJ Edgecombe. But thanks for the question, Cole. Number 11, Asa Newell. 12, Rashear Fleming. 13, Jace Richardson. 14, Ben Seraph. 15, Danny Wolf. Any questions about that top or that next five?
We talked about this. I mean, I guess we didn't talk about it too much. I briefly touched on it last time. I couldn't get to the Danny Wolf over Derek Queen, but I do like the boldness.
Yeah. I mean, Derek
Queen, not quite there. They're close on my board, but I couldn't get quite there.
Here's the thing, Matt. And this is what I think that gets lost in the days of analytics and the days of like players getting hyped up in college. Without names, if I told you there was a 7-foot big that averaged 10 rebounds per game, was 250 pounds, handled the ball like a guard, was switchable defensively, blocked shots, and also was able to facilitate for his teammates at a high level. And then I told you the other player was a 6'10 center who only plays on one side of the ball offensively and doesn't have a jump shot.
We're leaving a little bit out on the second one.
I don't think we are, because on the second guy, literally all he does is drive to the basket.
Okay. Derek is a very good passer.
He's a good passer. I wouldn't say a very good passer. He's a good passer.
Well, I think he's better than Danny in the sense that I think he does it better with both hands better. I think he's more ambidextrous.
Because he's not in those situations that Danny is in, though. Like, he can't do what Danny does at all. Like, he can't replicate what Danny Wolf does.
In what way? Offensively, in what way?
Handling the basketball. He cannot handle the basketball the way Danny Wolf handles it.
Oh, okay. No, I see what you mean now. I would probably, I think his handle's a little bit worse. But I think he's more ambidextrous with his passing. The jump shooting, I think, for both players is a concern, though.
Danny Wolf's three-point shooting is definitely a concern. His jump shot mechanics do need some work. Yeah. He's more willing to do it than Derek Queen. He's had more success than Derek Queen doing it, but that's also because Derek Queen doesn't really shoot it.
No, he doesn't. And at the same time, I think Danny Wolf is a better defender, but it's not a huge gap. Like, he does, I think he is more disruptive. He blocks more shots.
Rebounds just as well, if not better, at the next level, I think.
I don't know if Danny Wolf is as switchable as we say he is, though. I think he's slower with his feet.
I think he is, but what I saw in college, he got more and more comfortable as the season went on playing in space, because at his previous school, he wasn't allowed to. And at Michigan, they let him be himself. And you could see as the year went on, he got more and more comfortable. It's going to come down to his work ethic, right? Does he keep working on his foot speed? Does he keep wanting to be an elite, or not an elite, but being an above average defender when you're talking about being switchable? Not too fam. Welcome to the channel, man. I appreciate you. Don't forget to like and subscribe. He says, how valuable is Wolf handles at the next level? I think they're going to be extremely valuable.
Get him in the right spot.
For the way that the offenses want to play nowadays, for people that can move the ball, attack closeouts, can give you a little bit in the P&R, I really like what Wolf can do at the next level. HVSNI, thank you again for stopping by. Don't forget to like and subscribe. He says, don't see Wolf getting on ball responsibility for any team outside the Wizards and Nets. I disagree with that. I think there are teams that are going to give him that opportunity depending on how their offense, like if he went to the Pacers, he would absolutely get opportunities to be able to handle the ball and move the ball in that offense. Just as an example, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen or anything like that, but that's just an example. Number 16, Derek Queen, Nolan Troy, Neat Clifford, Carter Bryant, Cedric Coward. What do you think of that five?
I like it.
Me too. I think that's a really good spot for those guys in the draft. Adu Thoreau, Colin Murray-Boyles, Yeager Demean, Walter Clayton, Hugo Gonzalez.
I still have, I watched a little bit of Hugo today.
Yeah.
I can't get him as a top 25 because he didn't play.
Because he doesn't play. That's right.
Like,
did you see the playoff game I sent you? Because he played a whole half in that playoff game.
Yeah. But like, it's just one of those things where it's just like, I love how fluid he is as a mover.
Right.
He's
very athletic too.
Right. That's what I mean. Like there's so much fluidity with how he moves, but it's just like, he just didn't do anything in terms of.
You can't tell because he didn't play. Right.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, if he didn't play and get those in-game reps, I think there's going to be more development. And I think he's more of a project, not a bad thing.
Oh, he's definitely a project. Yes. He's definitely a project.
That's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to say that as like a knock, but
right.
I had him lower on mine for that reason.
Gotcha. Makes sense. 26, we have Tyrese Proctor. 27, we have Alex Tahui. 28, Liam McNeely. 29, Joan Behringer. And 30, Hanson Young.
I'm surprised you're that high on Hanson.
I'm really high on Young.
I don't know how you say his name.
Hanson Young. I'm really high on his offense. Offensively, I think he's actually a special player. His passing ability at 7 foot, you highlighted it during the combine. He's throwing wraparound passes behind defenders for easy buckets. Like, that guy's got special vision, good around the hoop, good hands. Just defensively, he's a project.
I was watching one of the few available CBA games on YouTube, and it took me a while to find. He would, like, quite literally the first 5 or 6 possessions of the game, he was getting attacked and they scored on like five of the, like almost every single one of those possessions.
Defensively,
it was kind of troublesome.
Yeah. Well, like that's what he is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He cannot move. He doesn't have good mobility.
No.
I don't think he's that good of a shooter. Like, I'm not there. Like, I think he was more willing to at the combine. I don't think they're going to, like, any NBA offense is going to allow that. Like,
he's going to have to develop it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're also at the bottom of the first, top of the second, if we're picking a pick 30.
Right. Yeah. And it's another one of those things where it was like, when he was in drop, his hands were always at his knees.
His defense is bad. Yeah.
I was just like, oh man. Like, the offense was awesome.
Right. The offense is awesome. The defense is bad.
And he's one of those guys where he can, like, he's someone who's very comfortable, as we talked about, like, operating DHOs and Chicago actions and stuff like that, just because, like, I think that's going to be translatable from day one, because he did that so much in that league. He did it at the combine fairly well.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, his defense sucks.
Yeah, his defense is not it, man. His defense is not it. Appreciate you, E, dropping by, says, what's good, fam? He said he got that t-shirt in today. I'm glad you got it. Hope you like it. It's for a different endeavor, though. I can't really endorse it on this channel. But yeah, man. Let's continue. 31, Will Riley. I know you got thoughts on Will Riley. Noah Asenge. Drake Powell, Lachlan Ulbrich, Maxim Reynaud.
Okay. Any thoughts? No, I like it. Let's keep going.
We got Yannick Markovic. And again, for no one, if anybody has ever seen any of the Adriatic League, it's very hard to scout people from the Adriatic League because it's literally rugby on a basketball court. So they make unnatural movements to protect themselves. So I'm like, I don't know how that's going to translate. It's very difficult for me to decipher. Chaz Lanier, Cam Jones, Noah Penda, and again, your other favorite, Ryan Kalkbrenner.
I think you're going to be surprised where I have Kalkbrenner on mine.
Oh, I might throw up.
It's kind of an indictment of just how little I like some of these other guys.
It's got to be bad, yeah.
Dude. Some of the guys I have above them, I think, may draw a question from some, but I don't care because it's my board. You create your own board.
That's right. Create your own boards, god dang it.
Yeah. And come laugh at mine when it's inevitably wrong in 3 or 4 years. No, don't do that. Be nice.
E says Houston gave away all their assets for Durant. They gave away a lot. They gave away a lot.
And they still have a ton.
And they still have a lot. Not Too Fam says they're saying Will Riley's killing it in the group workouts. I love empty gym workouts, man. I love it. Will Riley has gotten better as the season went on. Early in the season, he looked like a baby calf, couldn't really dribble, couldn't really get to the rim. So he definitely got better. But at the same time in the NCAA tournament, I did see a center for Kentucky lock him down every time he got switched out onto him. So let's take this all with a grain of salt. Janai Broome, the aforementioned Jamari Williams, who locked down Will Riley on all the switches in the NCAA tournament, Jameer Watkins, Sion James, Ryan Nembhard. Any qualms with that?
Not particularly, no.
Kobe Bray, Elijah Martin, Mark Sears, Micah Peavy.
No.
Javon Small, RJ Lewis, John Tonjay, Vlad Golden, Kobe Sanders.
Do you have him higher than me? Hold on, let me look at this. That's kind of crazy. We actually have him in the exact same spot.
Yeah, I snuck a peek. I broke into your house. I looked at your laptop.
It's troublesome.
I would be a little worried. Not too.
I gotta go lock my doors. I'll be right back.
That's right. But batten down the hatches. I've become a pirate. E says Trey Johnson, I heard, is killing it in workouts or doing his thing. You're 100% right, and I knew he would. Not Too Fam says Chaz Lanier is a dog. I like him.
I do like Lanier. I think I'm higher on him than some others too. Where'd you have him again?
Chaz Lanier, I had 38.
Okay, I have him a little bit higher than you.
57, Tamar Bates, Eric Dixon, Samson Johnson, number 59, Dylan Cardwell, 60, Dink Pate, 61, and that is it. We'll leave it there. The rest are undrafted.
If I'm being honest, most of these guys in most classes would be undrafted.
They'd all be undrafted if all those kids didn't go back to school.
Yep. Did I leave anyone out?
I don't know, but you're
up, dude. Probably left a couple out. That's fine. All right, let me share my screen.
HVSVNI says Grant Nelson is my sleeper. Everybody's been talking about him as a sleeper for like 2 or 3 years.
Ever since he left North Dakota State.
Ever since he left North Dakota State. I'm not Alrighty. As high on him as everybody else, to be honest.
Here it is.
Oh, the moment we've all been waiting for.
Ignore that part.
Kobe Sanders, number one.
Hold on, let me minimizing some of my screen. So it's easier for the viewers.
I'm also going to put the link to our big boards in the description of the video down below. So if you want to come back and reference it, we did these at Fanspo and they're there for public viewing.
Okay. So that's actually bigger than what I wanted. All right. This is what we got. Can you see? All right. Is it all good?
It's all good, Matt Hanifin.
All right, so I got Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, VJ Edgecombe, Trey Johnson, Ace Bailey as my top five. Shocker. I think this is what my top five was last time.
Pretty much. But has Ace Bailey grown since your last big board? Because he was 5'9 last time.
Listen, based on some of the reporting that's come out, he may have shrunk a couple of inches in his sleep. I can't, you know, confirm nor deny that.
Shrinkage.
But it's tough. Every workout that Ace Bailey denies, he gets like a quarter of an inch shorter.
That's right.
And so he's probably lost like 4 inches because he's probably declined 16 workouts or whatever.
16 workouts. Matter of fact, comment in the comments what you think about Ace Bailey declining workouts. I'm interested. Put it in the comments. Go ahead, Matt. Continue.
I tried to not let that kind of bias influence my board because I still think, like, just based on the talent and everything, it's still there, and I think he will be a good player wherever he goes, but it is troublesome.
There are red flags for sure.
Yeah. So I got Con 7, Casper 7. Okay, I didn't even say this. I made a huge change in my big board.
I can see that.
I made a big change in my big board. I woke up yesterday morning, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to be bold.
Oh, I like bold.
I'm going to be bold. Just because I was like, I watched a ton of this player over time recently.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't care that much about injuries. Thomas Sorber.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Let's go.
I thought about this so much over the last month. So much.
Sorber's my guy. You know that. I love that.
No, it was one of those things where it was like, I had him, Asa, and Malawatch like all in the same spot. Every time I would watch those three, I'd always come away most impressed with Sorber.
I love it. Love to hear that.
Jeremiah Fears 9, Malawatch 10, and then scroll down a little bit. I have it. Were any questions, qualms with the top 10?
No questions or qualms. I mean, that's bold for Sorber. I like your boldness, and I'm on board because I love Sorber's game. Really quick, we got some comments in here. Not Too Fam says Ace got promises from Brooklyn for sure. HVSNI agents are going to agent. Stephen Fine, regular viewer of the show, says he also thinks Ace ends up in Brooklyn. Ryan, a regular viewer of the show, says if this was a promise from a team he prefers, I can see where it's coming from, but don't be unprofessional, which it seems he's being. Yeah, Tahad Pettiford went back to school. Now I like it so far, man. Let's go.
But yeah, no, it was one of those things where, and it was also like factored into it. If I haven't heard anything about his foot from Intel online at this point,
right?
I'm just taking a bet on the talent. Hope he doesn't get injured within the next few years. You know what I mean?
Like, no doubt. Yeah. Take the bet on that talent for sure.
Like, the foot injury does, I've said it this entire time, it does terrify me. But I didn't want to let, if I haven't heard anything about it now, I didn't want to let that completely derail.
Well, what I heard from a doctor that it wasn't the type of foot injury that should be worrisome to a big. That's what I heard. I heard it was more of a toe.
Okay. I hope that's accurate.
Hopefully. But anyway, continue.
So yeah, that's my top 10. We'll go down five more. I have Seraph, Jace. I flip-flop Seraph and Jace. I just felt better about the positional size, even though I know Seraph's efficiency isn't as good as Richardson's.
Right.
I still love that Seraph is playing high-level basketball, and he's doing it at a like high level outside of that, you know, one game in the semis. And so that, I don't know. I like that with him. I have Jace at 12. And it's like, you know, 1A, 1B, however you feel. I don't really care.
Dude, Seraph gets to wherever he wants to get to on the court.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He just gets there. He's so quick.
I have Asa Newell, Neek Clifford, Rashear Fleming, 15. Any
Neek over Rashear is interesting. Is there some bias in there, Matt?
It goes back to what I said last time. I just feel so much better about Neek's creation, and more so self-creation than Rashear's. The physical measurables with Rashear are so good. Like, it's unbelievable.
You know, 7'6" wingspan, unreal.
And he I think he's more athletic in game than he is, like, he was at the combine. He's got an NBA ready body. There's still questions about Neek in terms of, like, you know, how he holds up defensively against some of these bigger guys, even though he did an exceptional job this last year defensively. Like, there's right. those are the questions.
Right.
But I just feel more comfortable with Neek's self-creation, even though some of that to a degree is a question mark. That 15-game stretch, 20-game stretch to end the season that I watched so much of, I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. That's why I got it. Again, not a knock on Fleming. Love
any
Fleming.
Concerns about the back of the head elbow in the playoffs?
Translates to the NBA well. No,
there it is. The 1980s.
And then 16 through 20, I got Cedric Cowher, Derek Queen, Danny Wolfe, Carter Bryant, Nolan Traore.
I like it, man. I like it.
I watched a bunch of Cowher last week. And the Washington State tape, obviously, only played 6 games due to an injury.
Right.
I was very impressed with what I saw.
Oh, it's impressive for sure.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I wish it was obviously more against high-level competition. He was good at Eastern Washington as a sophomore. But I think he has a skill set. He has the physical measurables that will translate right away.
Talk to me about his handles, Matt.
Good, not great.
That's what I worry about.
It's worse than Neek's, but better than Fleming's. Let me just put it that way.
Which, yeah, that's not a high bar because Fleming's aren't very good.
No, it's not.
No.
And maybe even good, not great's being a little bit generous, but.
What did you think about him defensively?
That can improve over time.
What do you think about him defensively?
I thought he was good defensively when I watched him, and I loved him off the ball.
Off ball, yeah, he's much better off ball for sure. All right, no, I like it, man. I'm on board. Continue.
21 through 20. I'll do 21 through 26. Berenger, Thoreau, Kalkbrenner, Proctor.
Wow.
Colin Murray Boyles.
Ryan Kalkbrenner at 23 is insane, dude.
I know. I told you.
Holy crap.
Again, I also watched, despite hate watching him moving, there's just a lot of stuff that he does on the court that I love.
Yeah. He blocks shots, plays defense really well.
Yeah, like, you can't teach some of the stuff that he does, like, from a verticality standpoint, the coordination. He does it without fouling. Like, there was a reason why he was, like, a 3-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, 4-time Big East. Whatever it was, just insane accolades. I think he can, like, again, the majority of centers in today's NBA, they rim run. He can do that perfectly right away.
Yeah.
Do I have concern? Again, we talked about, do I have concerns about how he moves in terms of, like, his tendencies rolling to the rim and stuff like that? Sure. But I hope he lands in a spot where that can get coached out of him.
No doubt. We got some comments coming in on the YouTube side. We got Nolan has no mid-range. Nolan has the best first step amongst guards in this year's draft. I disagree. I think that who's the kid from Jeremiah Fears? I think Ben.
I was gonna say VJ.
Oh, VJ Edgecombe, but he's not a point guard. I think he's talking about point guards.
Oh, okay.
Josiah, welcome, man. Welcome to the YouTube side of things. He says Adele, Matt, HVSNV or SVNI says Proctor. Is he a backup point guard or a wing? Yes. Not too fam. He's going to be a great rotational big. He's talking about Kalkbrenner.
Yeah. He's limited upside though. Like, that's the one thing
I was going to say.
I was trying to argue with myself when I was doing these. I was like, limited upside, but just the floor is so high with him in terms of like what most NBA offenses ask of him. Like, I think I think he's a better playmaker than he gets credit for too. And like, he can see things obviously because he's 7 foot that most players can't, like specifically out of like the low post in that area. I don't think he's going to be like a short roll guy or anything like that. But let me
ask you a question, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you think a team is going to take a rotational backup big before they take upside swings on Proctor, Demon, Demean, Clayton, Gonzalez, people like that, like Joan Behringer, for example? Well, you have Behringer ahead, way higher than I do. You got him 8 spots higher. Do you think they're going to take a rotational big before those guys, the other guys I mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they would over Proctor. I think some would over Clayton.
Okay.
Maybe not Jaeger, but I just feel more comfortable with Kalkbrenner than I do Jaeger.
For sure. I have all kind of questions about Jaeger, so I'm right there with you. But continue, man. Your board's awesome so far.
Okay, let me scroll down a little bit. So I have Walter Clayton, 27, Drake Powell, 28, Noah Penda, 29. I've only watched a little bit of Penda. You've watched more than I do. Physical wing, good passer. Not a great shooter at all.
No.
Questions about his athleticism / quickness.
Yes.
But this is where I kind of slotted him for now.
No, that's fine. I mean, I had Penda. Where'd I have Penda, actually? 40th. That's pretty high. It's your board, man, not mine.
Jani Broom, Reynaud, Chaz Lanier, Austin Gay, Cam Jones, 34. Any questions?
Be careful with the Austin Gay stuff, man. People are going to come after you.
I've watched it. Again, just because of Seraph, I've watched a decent amount of Ulam too. And it's just like, this is going to take time, gentlemen. This is going to take time.
Oh my God. Is it going to take time?
Yeah. It's going to take time.
Yeah. I have a hard time seeing it. I have a hard time seeing it, but maybe he can develop. But continue.
Will Riley, Sion James, Tui. I don't know if I'm saying that name right. Lee McNeely, Hugo Gonzalez, John Tanjay. I loved watching John Tanjay at Colorado State so much. So much. He's just super old.
And he only plays offense. He doesn't play defense.
Yeah, he wasn't a great defender.
No.
But I loved watching him play. Jameer Watkins, 41. And then, I have Yannick, Kobe Bray, Elijah Martin, Max Shulga, Vlad Golden, Ulbrich, Micah Peavy, Hanson Yang. And we're in the territory at this part of my board where I'm just throwing you know what at a wall and hoping some of it sticks. A lot of second round guys.
Elijah Martin's built like a Ninja Turtle, dude. That dude is strong.
Oh, yeah. Scroll down a little bit. Jackson Robinson, RJ Lewis, Mark Sears, Rocco, Tamar Bates, Javon Small, my guy Kobe Sanders, who I hope gets drafted. I said on another show earlier today that I think he does get drafted just because of so many guys going back to school.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
But someone who I'm still not particularly high on as a prospect, but that's neither here nor there. Amari Williams, Ryan Nemhard at 58. Peyton Sanford, Eric Dixon, Grant Nelson, Caleb Love, Hunter Salas. I watched a bunch of Caleb Love this weekend. It was kind of funny. I was with my girlfriend while I was watching him, and she was and I was just like, I wasn't seething, but there was some moments where I was watching where I'm just like, I was like, I hate watching this guy play. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, why? And I had to explain to her, like, just imagine watching, like, this is this is how I described watching Caleb Love. So bear with me here. I don't know if this is the right comparison, but it's like, it's watching, like watching Terry Rozier in college.
Oh, wow.
Without the dribbling.
Without all the dribbling. That's funny.
I was like, I just don't like watching this guy play basketball.
Right.
I'm rooting for him as a player. I love his confidence. No.
No.
And then I have Hunter Salas. Samson,
do you remember
Johnson.
When people were trying to tell me Dink Pate was a lottery pick?
Yes.
What? On what planet were people trying to tell me? I was the first time I saw Dink Pate, I was like, wait, what? How did you guys think this guy was a lottery pick?
And then I have Kadari Richmond as my last guy.
I love Kadari, man. He just can't shoot.
Cannot shoot, dude.
Yeah, at all.
Cannot shoot.
I got Kadari 62nd.
You can't shoot 18% from three and 54% from the free throw line and expect me to have you higher than, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. 18%'s rough.
As good as he is defensively too. Like, it's just like, this is a tough sell.
HVSVNI says, what position do you think Noah will play? Wing versus power forward versus center. That's
Noah,
the problem.
Is he talking about
Noah? Asenge.
You answer the question first.
He's got to be a wing, but he can't play a wing. He's not good enough to play a wing in the NBA. He's not strong enough to play a big, either power forward or center in the NBA. So
watching
I don't
you
know
talk
what
about,
he does.
Watching you talk about Noah is why I wanted you to answer the question first. I was throwing you a lob. Or he threw you a lob. I was like, kind of, I tapped it for you. Like,
yeah. You threw it back up. I get it, man. I appreciate it. That's the problem. No, he can't play any of those positions in the NBA.
And he's not strong.
That's why he can't play either of the big spots, because he's not strong. That's right.
He plays in the post, but he's...
I had somebody tell me that Ulam was sabotaging him because they were using him wrong. That's what I was told.
Hey, listen, if they are using him wrong, I hope one of these NBA teams shuts me up and uses him right.
That's right. He's purely a power forward at this point, says Not2Fam. Is he? Can he hang?
A power forward who
has no power?
I mean,
so he's a powerless forward is what you're saying.
A judge without his gavel.
That's it.
Yeah, so like I don't know if there's any like huge discrepancies. I mean, this is still a work in progress for the people. I'll probably release this like an hour or two before the draft. So like, this isn't probably like my final draft.
Mine's final. He doesn't shoot well enough. Stretch big. He doesn't shoot well.
A stretch big who can't shoot. That's dumb.
Oh my God, dude. You guys are killing me. Guys are killing me.
Yeah, I feel better about like my top 30 than I do.
It's going to be like that every year, Matt. Once you get into the second round, it's tough.
I know. You saw how bad my brain was breaking when I was just doing one heat-centric last year.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
Not a big board guy. Becoming one, but still not one.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of things this season. We did tiers, we've done mocks, we've done big boards. We're doing all the things, guys. But yeah, on Twitter, I'm Digital Adele. Send me your big board or mock draft. We want to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Matt, where can they find you, follow, and get more of your work?
I've been a lot more active on Twitter lately because people make me mad online. You could find me at how do you like that? At NPH underscore A24 underscore on Twitter.
Oh my God.
Don't put at underscore if you want to find me on Twitter. Don't do that. Do not do that. I behoove you to do the other one. You could find me at hotterhoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, in addition to playback.tv/hoopsprofile, we're at right now. And then for draft
night. Right now.
We're draft night, where you could find me more often, or maybe at least during the basketball season. playback.tv/5RSN, where Adele and I are going to be watching the Heat take Colin Murray Boyles, number 20.
Oh, my overall. God. Or Liam McNeely.
Oh, dude. Do you think they're going to trade it? I think they're going to trade it.
I think they're going to trade it. I think ultimately, the thing that doesn't make sense to me, how do you pay D. Mitch and get back Devin Carter?
That was just that's just a hypothetical.
But I mean, I get it's a hypothetical, but it's very plausible too.
I would do it because I love Devin Carter so much. I know they're duplicitous in skill sets. Devin Carter was drafted to beat Davion Mitchell's replacement in Sacramento.
Exactly.
So they traded him to Toronto. But listen, man, at this point, when it comes to maybe that's a wrong way to phrase it. So let me think about a different way to phrase it. In the way I want the Heat to construct the next iteration of this build and the stuff that I want them to prioritize, if you give me 3 years of Devin Carter with Davion Mitchell as a mentor, I am perfectly okay with that because it's on a rookie contract.
Yeah, I get the contract part of it.
I'm with you. The fit isn't clean. The fit is not clean.
No, the fit's definitely not clean, man. It's definitely not clean.
Eternal asked me last night, he's like, is Devin Carter your point guard? I'm like, no, he's not a point guard. He's a combo guard in a point guard's body. He's more of a Davion Mitchell than...
He is. He's so much like Davion. It's insane.
Except he's a better... Actually, I don't want to say he's a better three-point. Davion was awesome last year.
And Carter's not even that good at three-point shooting. He's not a good three-point shooter.
I think Devin Carter would have been... man, it's so tough to say this because he was injured for most of the year. I think Devin Carter was better than Davion at this stage of Davion's career.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say that because... he hardly ever played and was hurt for most of the year. So that'd be super unfair and illogical, and it wouldn't make sense for me to say.
Right.
But I think highly, I guess what I want to say, I think more highly of Devin now than I did Davion then.
Right.
Even though I don't know, not to say that'll, you know, their careers are going to play out the same, or that, you know, Davion's going to, or that Devin's going to have this massive opportunity, but... For me, I'm playing the stock market when it comes to some of this stuff. And it's like, if we're also talking about the Kings. The Kings are a dumb organization. If they're selling Devin Carter, I want to take advantage of that. Like,
right. Now, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I just think if I'm doing that as an organization, I'm spending that money elsewhere. I'm not giving it to Davion. I'm spending it elsewhere.
Would it also depend on the contract size, though? Like, if
yes,
it was like...
it would.
I don't think this is what he's going to get. I think this is underselling what he's going to get. But, like, if it was, like, 3 for 24, $8 million a year.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. It's tough. But that's a topic for another day. We're done for today, guys. We'll see you next time.
New messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.